kpfk.org.
Trago um fado no meu canto, canto a noite até ser dia.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you're listening to Fiercely Independent KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org. Radio powered by the people.
Today, The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett.
Everybody's talking about consciousness. Everybody wants that eternal kiss. Everyone's saying there's more than this. Everyone wants to follow their own bliss. Talking about one love, one blood. We sing all
on The Expansion Zone. We examine life and our quest to understand who and what we are and of the vastness of human potentials. We explore the making of our world, from quantum physics to parapsychology, health, sociology, and philosophy, along with practical living. You are reminded of the possibilities in creating personal change. So for an hour, we'll stimulate and expand the mind. Well, welcome once again to another edition of The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am your host, Sonia Barrett, and as always, thank you so much for joining me on this Monday. And I'm always wishing you the best that the week has to offer, the best that the day has to offer, and the week, and the rest of the year. And so, of course, I bring you guests and information that will certainly help to support some sort of evolutionary change, perhaps, for you. Anyway, I'm going to read my quote for today, and in light of what we're talking about today. It's, let go of certainty. The opposite isn't uncertainty. It's openness, curiosity, and a willingness to embrace paradox rather than choose upsides. The ultimate challenge is to accept ourselves exactly as we are, but never stop trying to learn and grow. And that's by Tony Schwartz. And that was a big reason why I really wanted to chat with our guests that we have today, because I do strongly believe that about uncertainty and being able to learn how to navigate the waters of uncertainty. Also, you're listening right now on the air on 90.7 FM KPFK, but there is a video version, so you can always look at the video. So you can see our faces if you want to see our faces. So my guest today is Ilana Gilad, and she is the author of Emerge Triumphant, Thrive Through Uncertainty. And so let's get into a little bit of her bio here. Ilana, you will definitely correct me later on if I have mispronounced her last name. I forgot to ask you about that. But Ilana Gilad is a TEDx presenter, motivational speaker, teacher, composer, and performer, and founder of Voices of Eden, Ancient Wisdom, and Healing Music Institute. She was born in the U.S. Ilana left for France in 1991 and then moved to Israel in 1994. Professionally, she had dedicated her life to reviving the conscious use of voice and rhythm as natural healing instruments as they were used in ancient matriarchal times. This wordless healing sound modality helps people find their authentic voices and connect to their inner calm and wisdom. It has been clinically researched in a neonatal intensive care unit, where it was proven to lower blood pressure and heart rate, increase focus, and improve the quality of sleep. Her work has been featured in publications like Drummer, Yoga Journal, Mothering, Music, and Medicine Journal, Global Rhythm, and Hindustan Times. Documentarian Emmanuel Etier also features Ilana in her award-winning film, Femme, which came out in 2013, narrated by Sharon Stone. And she's also, Ilana is also a frequent keynote speaker, teacher, performer, healing, music, leadership, health, and mindfulness conferences throughout the world. And she also narrated the film, the documentary on PBS called The Forgotten Jews, broadcast in 2005. And she just has done a host of things. I love it. This person just said, you know what? I'm just going to get out there in life and be and do. You know how I love being and doing. Anyway, Ilana, welcome to the Expansion Zone.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we were chatting a little bit before the show, and sometimes I begin chatting with the guests, and sometimes it's so very interesting that I have to remind myself, oh, we have a show to do.
Isn't that just the point of out of the box? It's like, what's the difference?
Absolutely. The only thing is it's not recorded when we're chatting with ourselves.
Yeah. We should have. That would have been cool.
Yeah. That's the only part is not recorded. And it's like, oh, they're missing out. They're missing out on that. But anyway, so we're going to bring hopefully some of that spontaneity, to this conversation. So you wrote that book, but I think one of the things that kind of stood out for me was some of your experiences when you talked about your experiences of being in wartime in, you know, that is major, because talking about uncertainty and having to power through. And I think obviously that's part of what has, you know, grew you. Do you want to start there and talking about your journey a little bit in terms of how you even ended up in some of these, regions? What were you seeking?
Well, I lived in Israel for 20 plus years, you know, where there's
a long time
war every other week, you know. The measure of our true power is not when things are going well and how we'd like things to go. It's like, how's that working for you? You know, it's really how we show up when all hell is breaking loose. That's when we have the best opportunity to really find our, you know, really find our calm, if we'll choose to look where it is.
And our resilience, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just the best. I don't mean fun. I mean, like, the best, because when you know, if something doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And, you know, frankly, you know, it all comes down to, where's your priority? How are you, you know, how are you showing up in your life? And you said, you know, the be and do. We're at the fundamental level behind all of these personalities and bodies and minds, that there are no two that are alike. At the same time, behind that, where those come from is that being, and there's only one being. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of alignment, choice, focus, identity, you know, what we choose to identify with at any moment. And that's free will. That power we do have. We don't have power over what arises, what comes up. That we're powerless over. But we have total power over how we respond.
Absolutely.
Problem is, most of the time, it's habitual, you know, out of ingrained habits. And we love to play that game of I'm a victim. The world happens to me. I'm not a part of this. And, you know, even that's a part of it. That's okay too. You know, you can really have, do, be whatever you want or desire. You're that powerful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when you said that, it just reminded me that last week I wrote an article titled, You're Happening to Life.
yeah.
As opposed to life is happening to you, because it's just what you mentioned about the victimization. It kind of pulls people into that. So,
well, one more thing that I want to say in answer about the war. So really a turning point trigger for me was in the 2006 war between Hezbollah and in northern Israel. And I lived in this bucolic vegetarian health village overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I mean, we're talking Garden of Eden. I mean, really beautiful, beautiful. And in the hills. So Lebanon was behind the hills, and we're like, oh no, we're not going to get it because the hills, you know, the hills catch the bombs, you know,
they protect us.
And they protect us. And the, when the rocket is shot, then there's 90 seconds where the radar, you know, like the radar catches the bomb, and then there's a siren that goes off for 90 seconds so that people can get to a safe room or a bomb shelter or whatever.
90 seconds is a long time.
Yeah. So in my home, I didn't want to go into the, you know, and every community has bomb shelters, but I really didn't want to be in that energy, you know, with people terrified and doing whatever reaction we humans do to this. I really, you know, with this ancient feminine leadership way, and I really wanted to test it when all hell was breaking loose. I thought, well, that's really going to be the measure. Let's see how it works with this, you know? So I lived in an older home where there was no safe room, you know, like a bomb protected room. So if you don't have that in the structure, then the safest place to be is in like an inner corridor, you know, hallway. So in my home, there was this like 3 foot, 4 foot, I don't know, you know, really, really teeny between the living room and the bathroom. So that's where I would go. I'd sit in this little hallway, and one day, you know, the siren's going, and my voice inside is going, how come we just can't live? You know, why do they have to drop bombs? Why can't we get along? Why can't, meaning I'm saying that, but I mean they, right? They dropping bombs. And the answer came back. Elena, how well are you living peace with your own bombs in your life?
Mm. We're like, well, shut my mouth.
Naive, sweetheart, to think that, you know, you think other people, you know, it's like the outside should. How well are you living with your inner war? And it's flip sides of the same coins. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And I didn't hear the bomb crash. I fell into this calm. It just, it shocked me to my roots. And that was a game changer.
The dose of truth.
That was a game changer. Like, okay, yeah, how peacefully can I live with my wars? And that's up to me. Not anybody else.
So in that moment, I mean, as you said, that was a game changer. Now, what kind of game changing? I mean, I what I'm envisioning is you felt probably more stabilized.
I don't really have a word for it. You know, I felt so maybe at ease.
Yeah, that's what I mean by stabilize.
Then it reminds me of another story. It led to me being able to reach out to people too, because it's when I started my blog, because people would, are you okay? Because they, read the commercial media, which is selling fear. And I'm a former CBS broadcaster, so I was very consciously doing what I was doing. And then I'd have these amazing, amazing experiences, because we don't know about what, the idea we have of war is what we see in, a Hollywood movie, right? Just not that they're sitting, I wasn't in a war zone. I mean, yes, I was in a war zone, lived in the middle of a war zone, but not, and in the battlefield, but it wasn't, I lived in my bucolic Galilee village with, where everybody fled if they could, except for the weirdos, like me, and those who couldn't. Oh, wait. I mean, there are others. I have another story too, if you want to hear.
No. Go ahead.
I have two stories. I think they're beautiful for this. One is Mao Ullstein. He was then in his late 80s, I think, a Holocaust survivor. All right. So there was a little village market. And one day I'm at the little village market, because it's lockdown. You can't go out, because God forbid a bomb drops and it's public danger, So I'm at the little market and I see Mao Ullstein, and there was hardly anybody in the village because everybody fled. I go, it's so nice to see a human being, And I go, how are you? And how are you, how are you handling the war? I mean, I didn't know exactly what to say. It's like, Yes, I've lived through so many wars. I'm like, what's another war? And I'm like, all right, he's a Holocaust survivor.
Like, nonchalant,
like nothing. This is like nothing. This is like, I don't know, a traffic jam, So I go, how did you survive the Holocaust, the camps? He goes, I'll tell you, it was very interesting. he said there were two things. He goes, we had a theater club.
A theater club?
Theater club. He said, one day a week on Thursdays, I can't remember the, Thursdays between 7:02 and 7:13 in the evening for 12 minutes.
Wow.
They changed the guards. So there was, they weren't watched over. He goes, and we lived for those 12 minutes. And we put on, and every week we had this little group, and each person took a turn putting on a show. I guess they just recited it for 10 minutes or, whatever they did. But we put on a show and we lived for that. It was our life. We loved it. He said, that was one thing. He said, the second thing is whatever crumb of bread, they had nothing to eat, but whatever I was given, I saved a portion to give, and we would bring that together and we would enjoy it at the theater.
Oh my goodness.
Is that,
wow.
Is that amazing?
That is like, amazing.
Holy friggin' moly. So I just astounded by that. And then the next week, I went, so in the morning, they're like bombs in the morning, and then they take a coffee break, and then it stops.
Time to go to Starbucks.
and you can't go, but it's like, you have to go to the market at some point. And the market was down the hill in Carmiel in the town. And so in one of these breaks, I went, I drove down the hill into the town. And I remembered that they said that if you happen to be, in a public place, the market, or you have to go out, and the siren comes, that one of the safe places to go is underground parking because it's all concrete. So I get down to the town and sure enough, you know, the siren starts. I go, oh, I have 90 seconds. I have enough time to get into the parking lot. I'll go park in the underground parking of the supermarket, which I would usually park on the street. But this time, like, no, they have underground parking. I'll go to the underground parking, get into the underground parking, like within 90 seconds, and then there's no bomb. I'm like, what? Which kind of took me off, you know, it took me off, but I get up, I get my, you know, my cart, you know, my shopping cart, and there I am. And it's like heaven. You're like seeing people in Galilee as Jew, Christian, Muslim, Israeli, Palestinian. I mean, it's the whole gamut. And everybody, you know, and I lived in an area where the villages are side by side. So everybody's there. You never hear about those things, but that's reality. And then there I am in the aisle, you know, picking up my pasta or whatever. And that, like, the building just, it's kind of like an earthquake. You know how the earth moves from under your feet?
Right, right. California.
Also, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like that on steroids. Okay. So and they go, everybody get into the, get in, leave your carts, get into the refrigerated room or something like that. And I am, if I'm not going in a bomb shelter, I'm not going to go into the refrigerated, you know, it's like, you know, in the back where they keep all right. refrigerated stuff. No, I'm not going there. But I also knew that another safe place was in a stairwell.
Right.
So I go and I find the stairwell so that I could have some quiet. And there were three other women in there. There was a religious Jew. There was a Muslim woman and a Christian woman. And the four of us are there. One speaks Russian. One speaks Hebrew. One speaks Arabic. And we're just kind of standing there. It's like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And give it, and I started employing this stress release technique that, you know, that's part of what we teach in our Drive Through Uncertainty, Emerge Triumphant. There's a course. And so I'm practicing that and I'm kind of, just kind of humming to myself. There's a way that you can use your voice, but you don't even have to do it out loud. It's not singing, it's not a performance thing. And I'm getting calm. And all of a sudden, I remember Ma Ulstein.
Ah, perfect time.
And there are these women, you know, it's like so bizarre. You're sitting in a stairwell and you don't know what's happened. Your body is in shock. I mean, it's just, you don't know what to do. And I go to find myself saying to them, you know, if you'd like, I'm doing this thing now and it's really calming. I could share it with
you. I could show it to you.
I could share it with you if you want. Okay. So the four of us, we end up there and we're like, honey, it's just like so funny. You know, they're like these transcendent moments. It's like, I live for that. I, you know, and now look, here I am. When was that? That was in 2006. Where are we now? 2022. So that was 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and now I have this great story and oh my God, I'm telling the story. It's like so inspiring to me. I hope somebody's inspired by it.
Oh, absolutely. You know? The thing is, but in the moment when you're with these women in the moment,
like that's the test.
Yeah. You're just in the moment. And obviously at that moment, you're not seeing the humor that you see now, but in the moment, you're just there. And why would anybody say, no, I don't want to try it. I don't want
well,
you to
because
me at this.
No. Because what happened before? Well, you have a devout Muslim woman. What, she's going to go sing? That's an American idea. I mean, that's a Western idea. That is, I mean, that's not true, but given here we are on a Western, you know, radio kind of, you know, telling a story, but that's not the mindset.
Yeah.
And it was, and she's Palestinian. And I thought it was so odd too, because I'm like, God, I mean, now I remember, even I haven't really told this story. It's just now that it's coming up, I'm actually having a memory that before I suggested that, I remembered the voice. This is very, look at this. How interesting. Like, here's a Palestinian, like, this is going to be an interesting story someday, because people on the outside have, because all you know is what you see in the commercial media, have such ignorance about the reality of living in the Middle East. And I don't, it doesn't matter what side, or, you know, I don't mean, because everything is from a different perspective, and there's truth and reality in every perspective. It's all part of that whole. But we have these stories that we tell ourselves. And I just was met with all of those stories converging in the same moment, and seeing how much they're stories, because the reality of the moment was, like you said, just that moment. And how do you show up in that moment when you are with people who are from such places? And here I'm living in a place where I'm being bombed. You know, I mean, my body could be blown up, but so was the Palestinian woman.
Right.
The Palestinian is not Hezbollah in northern Lebanon. That's a different thing. And my mind was like, oh, but look, I'm with the enemy here. Here I'm standing with that quote unquote enemy. But it's like, what enemy? You know, we're like, four women in a supermarket, in a stairwell, and a bomb dropped, you know?
Yeah. So the narrative was it contradicted the narrative.
Exactly. And then the reality of the response of those women, you know, the one who's speaking now and the three who were with the one who's speaking now, they just, for, you know, whatever reason, they chose to be present in that moment. It lasted maybe 30 seconds. It was, I don't know how, maybe it was 2 minutes. I don't know how long it was. It doesn't matter.
Time is very different under those circumstances.
Transcendent moment. And then there was the next moment where we found out, because we didn't go out of the stairwell, but when we came out, somebody said it was like the village right across from where the market is. And that woman, it was a Muslim village, you know, the Palestinian village. And it was somebody got through the, you know, WhatsApp, through, you know, through the phone, got to somebody in the market. So we knew what happened, and somebody's family was.
Yeah. Yeah. And there in that moment, that situation was what you would call the reality of war. That moment. So let's, take a quick station break. And when we return, we're going to, pick up this conversation, because there's so many different angles that we could talk about, in terms of even, you know, your leaving corporate America to what you're presenting now in terms of, these new tools, in terms of voice, in terms of, you know, all of these aspects. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this brief break.
The Bradcast.
Experts have said that the case has little chance of success at the Supreme Court, much like the numerous other GOP election lawsuits that are pending in battleground states. But then again, those experts, they are just guessing. They are hoping.
With your host, Brad Friedman, and producer, Desi Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that's one I'd rather not contemplate.
Correct. You are, as usual, correct, Desi Doyen.
Tune in to The Bradcast every Monday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK.
The Pacifica mission statement is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, to encourage and supply outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and color, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. The Pacifica Mission Statement.
Support comes from the Soraya, presenting Maritza, performing for one night only on November 6th. The acclaimed Portuguese fado singer blends jazz, flamenco, and more into the soulful and poetic nature of traditional Portuguese fado music. Maritza's enchanting charisma and unparalleled voice will take you on a musical journey through the culture and nightlife of Portugal. Further information and tickets are available at thesoraya.org and kpfk.org.
Trago fado no meu canto, canto a noite até ser dia.
And we are back. Of course, we're coming to you from KPFK 90.7 FM in Southern California. And of course, streaming live at kpfk.org. And you're listening to The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. Of course, that's me, Sonia Barrett. And we are speaking with my guest today, Ileana Gilead. And this has been a very interesting conversation so far, because we're talking about an experience that many of us do not, thank goodness, we don't have to experience, but we're experiencing other things in our lives that can absolutely feel like we're in a war zone, a personal war zone, or just a collective war zone. So anyway, let's pick up from where we left off with these incredible stories. And where would you like to take us now after this? Because I want to hear about these tools, these techniques. I want to hear about that as well.
Sure. Well, so that's a really good segue, because, you know, what you just said, it ends up a choice. And you're right. Bombs don't, you don't need to have physical bombs blasting in your life. But we are all living with our personal wars inside. And imagine what happens when we dare. You know, life is giving us today, life is kind of a war zone today, you know, with everything that, you know, that's occurring and falling apart. And I mean, I'm using that term loosely and, you know, dramatically, and, you know, poetic license, because we're on the radio. But it really is like that, you know, whether it's that after, you know, the collective trauma that we've all been through over the past few years, and, you know, are still in the midst of, it's a collective trauma, and there will be the post-trauma, and there's just, and the grieving and the not knowing, and, you know, whether you spent your time at home, and, you know, if you were still working from home, and you have kids and your kids were at home, and you live with a partner and they were at home, and, you know, now things are different and you're wondering, God, who am I living with? Do I even want this anymore? and all of the ramifications of that, of, you know, the confusion and the exhaustion and the frustration of not having the clarity, and life isn't exactly going your way. What do you do? And that is what this ancient way is very, very helpful for the gray of life that doesn't make sense.
The uncertainties.
Where you don't know. But here's an example of how to know that you're actually, it may feel really uncomfortable, but here's where you know when you're really at a precipice. So maybe you have an inkling, or there's some place inside that you know, like, you know, you're ready to make a change. You know, you're ready to move forward, but maybe you don't have words to describe that, but you feel it. That there's not, and maybe you actually take an action, or you have, but then it hasn't gone the way you thought. And then it triggers, you're trying to figure out what to do, and you're trying to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out and figure it out, and you're getting nowhere fast. You know, if you're, and you're exhausted from that, and you don't know what to do next, and then you wonder, maybe there's something wrong with you. I want you to know that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. There's actually a lot right. It's just that the tools that you've learned, that we've all learned, of how to manage in life and how to get ahead with our minds and figuring things out in this situation. I mean, that's fine for, you know, a technical issue, or, you know, if you're cooking a recipe for the first time, you know, each of the ingredients has a chemical response, you know, that's cognitive, mm-hmm. you know, and yes, so we follow recipes because the ingredients respond in certain ways dependent upon what order. But when you're talking about your life and shift in life and the magnitude of what we're going through and the magnitude of what you're going through, that approach doesn't work and could be the absolute worst tool. It doesn't work. And you cause yourself more stress and more problems and a lot more grief and a lot more sabotage, and not consciously. Nobody wants to consciously sabotage themselves, but that's a cognitive approach. And we've all learned to, you know, especially if you're a conscious person, right? Oh, you know how to meditate. Or if you're a healing professional, you know, it's like the therapists these days, they're like long waiting lines. There's like not enough space. But the answers are never from that place. The answers are inside, not outside. And what these tools help you to do is to find your clarity and find your confidence by connecting to your own self-expression and this ancient feminine archetype, which is outside of your mind. It's another paradigm altogether. So it's not, you're never going to figure it out. You'll never figure out your answers because the answers aren't there. But if you're, you know, really ready to have your clarity, if you're really ready to move forward and you're willing to not know, or no, let's say no, if you're willing to not understand and you're ready to know, the tools, like in the book, this is not a cognitive book anyway. Actually, you know what? Here's the book. Ask the question and let's just open up and see what comes up.
I love that.
Yeah.
Which question am I asking? No question. That's any random question.
Is this live? Are we live?
No. It's being recorded, right?
It's being recorded. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. So Sonia, ask me a question that you have. Okay. And let's just see. I have no clue. You know, we'll see.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Now, originally, what I was going to say is I'm going to tell you what I was going to ask you based on, not ask you, but comment. And then we'll go from there. Okay. There are three statements that I extracted from your book. And I wanted to share that with my audience. Yes, you've talked about it. But three things that I love. It was becoming comfortable with uncertainty. And the second one is the small, still voice behind the cognitive mind, which you happen to be talking about. And then the third one is opening up to a world of new possibilities. Those three, to me, they just go hand in hand. Now, I took them from different.
I love that. Well, let's do the third. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Close that. So here we can experience this in real time, because neither one of us knows. We'll be in our uncertainty and we'll learn together.
That's right.
So what's a question that you have?
In terms of...
That you think maybe listeners may have, and then we'll open the book and see what it offers us.
Okay, let's see.
This is
what
the ways you can, the book is more of like a workbook. There are lots of questions in there too. Well, let's just see.
Let's see. Gosh, there's so many aspects here.
Don't think about it too much.
Yeah, I know. It's just so many things because you've talked about quite a number of things. Right. But, you know, the idea of emerging triumphant, obviously you explained that, but we could probably expound on that too, because everybody might have a different idea of triumph, what emerging triumphant is.
Yeah.
Putting a lot of more pressure on themselves, and maybe that's...
I love it. Okay. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. That's great. Okay. So we'll explore what is emerged triumphant. Like, how can we look at emerged triumph? What's a alternative way? What's a way to look at thriving through uncertainty and emerging triumphant, perhaps in a way that we haven't seen before? Because that, like, how can we, let's go into the uncertainty we don't know, but what if we are willing to look outside of what we think emerging triumphant means, that puts a lot of pressure on us? Is that what you meant? And let's see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, triumphant for people can be like the idea of success. You know, what is that? It's, you know, a lot of contrived ideas. You know what?
I randomly opened to page 148. Mm-hmm. All right. 148 is from the second page of chapter 31, how birth and transformation metaphors apply to our daily lives. All right. So at the top of page 148, it's so funny. Wait, there's... Can we trust what our inner voice of wisdom whispers to us? Can we genuinely live by it? Can we stand up to the authority figures in our lives who would deter us? Will we succeed? These questions signify that we are moving into the pregnancy phase. Hold on. So just for context, I'll read the page before. If we look at the story of the Hebrews' flight from slavery to freedom, we can find many parallels in it to personal transformation and to birth. Their thirst for freedom from bondage parallels the deep inner desire for a change of circumstances. The dream of having a better life often provides us with an inner power to deal with the less than dreamy reality of working hard under less than ideal conditions. Anyone relate? Less than ideal conditions is the Hebrews fleeing Egypt did, or of living in a way that no longer gratifies us. The dream of a promised land is a sexual initiation phase of transformation. It's the conception of an idea. Can we, and then there's this, can we trust what our inner voice of wisdom whispers to us? Can we genuinely live by it? Can we stand up to the authority figures in our lives who would deter us? Will we succeed? These questions signify that we're moving into the pregnancy phase, and that's an emotion-filled, watery time. In our own lives, we must develop the commitment to the idea of what we're moving towards, just as a woman commits body and spirit to the new life that she's bringing into the world. Will I be a good parent to my child? She may wonder. Will we get along? What must I do now so that my baby will be born healthy and thrive? One of the characteristics of matriarchal energy is that multiple layers of reality coexist, and this exemplifies the next phase of birth and transformation.
Well, you know, I'm going to say, emerging triumphantly.
What do you see?
In terms of birthing, in terms of emerging fluidly, but it's the allowingness of yourself to just emerge. At least from where I stand anyway, as you are without all of these conditions, social conditions.
Okay, folks. Well, this is just another wonderful example. You know, Sonia was in the middle of her brilliant comment and my computer just crashed.
Well, there you go. That's all part of the, those moments.
Yeah. But the thing is, how do you respond when that happens? Do you get all nervous? You know, here we are in the middle of an interview, but given what you just said, I go, oh, well, there's another birth. The mind goes, well, yeah, I could call in through the phone but I would stop. I was stopping. I did not go with the figure it out because we just spoke about that. Mm-hmm. I practiced these tools. And actually, if you want, you know, if you find yourself in these situations that with the book, there's a free workshop. And I mean, I would love for you to get the book for yourself if this speaks for you. But even if you don't, go take the workshop. It doesn't cost you any money. It will cost you your anxiety. It will cost you your stress. And if you're wanting to have an experience of, like, in real time, of like, what do you do? Like when something like this happens and have an experience of having clarity in the moment, do yourself a favor and avail yourself. It's a free resource. It's at emergetriumphantnow.com. And
we'll add that link to the profile page. Yeah.
So that people
can read it.
Because it's, you know, we can speak about this till the cows come home, but you know, like you were so eloquently saying about that birth process. And I don't know what you said in the end because the computer went off, but what was coming up as you were speaking was, in that birth process, the labor, it's contractions. Mm-hmm. Labor's messy. It's bloody. It's painful. It's like, but out, it doesn't last forever, and out the other side comes a whole new life and just a whole new reality. And collectively, that's what we're going through. And individually, each in our own way, you know, we're each going through that. And
it's ongoing though. And it's the thing is this, that birthing process is ongoing, but they're just different moments and different levels of birthing. There's sometimes more obvious ones. And sometimes there are those that are not quite so obvious. And then you have that moment when you go, wow, you look back and you realize that you just went through the birth canal and you're here on the other side. And sometimes I do that. I look back and I forget what my life was 5 years ago. And I think, wow, I lived through that. So it's very interesting, this whole process of being able to listen really and actually act on that voice that we're looking for, which is what we were talking about.
And it's right where we are. Mm-hmm. Like, how difficult can it be? Well, that's how we began. You know, you begin with how difficult is it to be who you already are?
Yeah.
Well, we are it. Just looking in the wrong direction and so habituated to reacting to, you know, to what our minds tell us. You know, that's the real war zone.
Oh yeah.
It's social.
I think a lot of it is based on social protocols, social expectations, programming. And my audience has heard me say this so many times, but it's appropriate right now. But listening to a TED talk and this gentleman that was on, he was talking about meditation, Vipassana meditation, actually. And he said the mind is like a bad neighborhood and nobody wants to go there alone.
That's what I just said. I wouldn't want to go in there.
Yeah.
Like my mind is a war zone. You know, I don't want to walk through. I don't want to go in there.
You want to bring other people. And that's how other people, we bring people into our story. We want to align with people who are going through misery and struggle. They say misery loves company. That's why. Yeah. So you don't have to go into your war zone in your head by yourself. Oh my gosh. So, because we have a few minutes left, we have about 5 minutes left, but I really would like people to be able to connect with you. Again, more of what you are offering, providing this kind of support for somebody who is, you know, going through it. A lot of times there are people going through it and nobody knows they're really going through it. They're going through it in here and they're kind of hiding it. You know, what are the tools that might be available on your website? And also the book, obviously.
Yeah. Well, the book and in the free class, you'll learn three practices that help you to go, you know, if you're feeling anxious and stressed, you know, that those practices will help you to go beyond your anxiety and reconnect to your true guidance, you know, your guidance inside, you know, feminine inside, calmly, compassionately, gently inside, and discover how to remove those blocks that really keep you in your mind, you know, in that dangerous neighborhood, you know, and help you to move out of your mind and into your heart, and then find the confidence and the clarity by connecting to your self-expression and by connecting to the feminine archetype, which again, it's not figuring things out, but through experiencing. And don't believe a word I say, because it's not really worth much. That would just be taking something on hearsay. What really is of most value, if something that I'm sharing resonates with you, respect yourself, trust that. That's your voice resonating, and check it out and learn for yourself, experience for yourself. And that will have meaning. That will take you forward. Not because somebody else said something. It's because you're aligning with it. Like, that's an example. You're aligning with your self-leadership.
Mm-hmm.
These are ancient tools to help you to gain clarity when life isn't going your way, whether, you know, whether you're in that situation that we were talking of before, you know, you don't know whether you want to stay in your relationship, right, or your kids have left, or, you know, maybe you've been taking care of a parent, you know, and they're leaving, or maybe you're in, you know, you're in the
changing careers, or
you're in the corporate world and thinking of changing careers. It's not working for you. Maybe you want to go out on your own, but you really don't know how, because that brings up a lot of a lot of confusion, and the free resources are fabulous. So the workshop, it's a 2-hour free workshop. It is I initially made a workshop as a celebration when we launched the book, and the book,
we have about a minute and a half.
Okay. The book reached number one bestseller internationally in 6 different categories in 24 hours. So
incredible.
It was so evidently the subject is timely, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know what comes to mind when you were talking? The power of choice.
Well, and so I chose, I thought, all right, if people are really resonating, then I want to offer that. I want to do this on a regular basis. So I made a 2-hour workshop. It's just really powerful. And there are a few exercises, one towards the end of the workshop that, there's a recording there of, at dawn, at the ancient site of the parting of the seas that I recorded for a project 10 years ago, but is so powerful that I incorporated that. And it's something that will really help you go beyond your confusion and connect to your clarity. But again, don't believe me. No, try it out. See for yourself. And your answers are inside of you.
Yeah. And that's the whole idea here with the show. Period. The expansion zone is really all about that. It's really about supporting the idea of people connecting with themselves and trusting themselves instead of just being consumed by the outside programming that you don't know what's best for you. You don't know, somebody else knows. So this has been absolutely wonderful. And I know we're there now on time. It did kind of just go by really quickly. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again. I love your stories. I love the way you tell them, and thank you so much for just sharing who you are with the rest of us.
Well, thank you, Sonia.
All right. Take care. And all of her information will be available on the website, theexpansionzone.com. So if you missed the link, just go there and visit theexpansionzone.com. Also, I want to thank you, the listening audience. I want to thank the engineers as well, KPFK. And do visit the archive on theexpansionzone.com and also Spotify. The shows will be there on Spotify as well. So you can visit that. And to find out more about me and my work, do visit therealsoniabarrett.com. And as always, I like to remind you to live life to its fullest and question everything. Until next time, see you then.
Everybody wants that eternal kiss.
Stephanie Sosi, I am Dene of the Navajo Nation and Mayan. I invite you to listen to Ancestral Contact every Monday, 10:30 to 11:30 on KPFK. Biate she Stephanie Sosi when she Dene do Mayan shle. Ehehe, das Nordzahn, ancestral contact, KPFK.
La agencia ICE está intensificando las operaciones de deportación en el área de Los Ángeles. Pero si lo detienen agentes de la ICE, usted tiene derechos constitucionales sin importar su estatus migratorio. Si usted o alguien que conoce ha sido detenido o desea denunciar a la ICE, puede obtener más información en CHIRLA, llamando al 888-624-4752 para obtener ayuda legal y recursos. Es un servicio bilingüe. Para más información, visite chirla.org.
ICE is escalating deportation operations around the Los Angeles area. But if you are stopped by ICE officers, you have constitutional rights, regardless of your immigration status. If you or someone you know has been detained or wants to report